Okay, good evening. Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle, for playing for us. Let's prepare ourselves for our study tonight. Got a wonderful journey to go. You might want to fasten your seat belts and get ready for a great ride. Talking to Jim Langston, please be in prayer about what will happen when we have to move. Nothing's coming through, and not sure about how much we can afford, and it's a lot of things. So, Jim Langston wasn't too hot on meeting at my house. I guess he came over and saw the way I keep it. I don't know. But that's it. There you go. Okay. Let's prepare ourselves in prayer for the study. Going to do some interesting things tonight, and let's be in the power of the Spirit that He can show us and take us on this journey. Let's begin with a word of prayer. It is babbling, Heavenly Father, to even say, well, we were not there. Mankind hadn't even been created. And so much has occurred and did occur long before man ever came on the scene. All that we can know, Heavenly Father, is what You reveal to us in the Scriptures. And even in that, totally dependent on the illuminating work of Your Spirit to take us into the text to show us what's going on, to turn on a light in the darkness of the past that we were not even aware of and there. It's so difficult, Heavenly Father, to apply and understand sometimes what's even happening in our own lives, much less to adventure back into the time of angels only. But You've given it to us in Your Word, and we pray that You'll now shed light on what we're to see. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God, that's angels, came to present themselves before God, before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. Now, angels and Satan all submit to the authority of God. People, I'm going to show you tonight that this is not something out of the ordinary, that this heavenly court has been going and is still going on right now. What is happening at this court, at the court before God, I don't mean like a judicial court, I mean in the courtroom before God, what angels are there for and what Satan is doing there and what he's reporting on is his function. This is his job as he sees it, as he understands it. Going to learn some new things about Satan that I've never known before. And so, let's get ready for it. Verse 7, and the Lord said to Satan, now whether or not he had other angels speaking, we don't know. It's not an issue right now. What is an issue is that this super creature, the greatness of God's creative ability, he's the one being addressed. And he has a job, he has a function, I'm going to show you that. And that's what's going on here. And the Lord said to Satan, okay, as identification to the Lord, since the revealed member of the Godhead is always the second member of the Godhead, we can assume this is God the Son. From where do you come? All right, I got a question for you. Does God know? Obviously. God knows where he's come, where he's been and everything. So God knows where Satan goes, where Satan comes and goes. God knows he's asking this now for the report. Because this cherub, this great angel, has a task. And that's what we're going to look at in this study. God, in asking this question, implies, by the very giving of the question, that Satan has his own agenda. This is not, we might just say, well, how you been, where you been, or something like that. This is in a major meeting. This has major meaning. And God knows, in asking the question, he implies by the question, that Satan has his own agenda. It's a self-interest as far as Satan is concerned. And that he has been about plotting and looking and making notes, and he's ready to make some charges. So this is a very important question. Satan's answer is rather interesting, as we're going to see. Well, nothing really, just cruising around. Like a parent might ask a child, where have you been? And the child just cruising around, going up and down the drag. And that's the way Satan's going to make it sound. Okay, let's get into this and find out what is going on. People, let me tell you something, because this all affects you. There are eyes watching you. There are eyes watching you. And if you're paranoid, you're right. There are people behind looking at you, following you. But we have something more important than somebody who's that. Huh? They're still there. They're still looking. A lot of eyes are looking. Okay. This verse, I've come to realize, has so much in it. From the biblical to mythological, or the myth, the mythology of the ancient Near East, and the court scene here, what Satan is doing, and we're gonna spend a few minutes here and slow down and take a look at this verse and what is going on in this meeting. This is not an unusual meeting. This is a very important meeting. Now, I have what I'm going to do right now somewhere down here in these notes. But just so that you can see this, I want you to look with me, if you will, at Revelation 12. I just feel compelled to draw your attention to that this is not something new going on. Job is the first book written. Revelation is the last book written. And I want to show you something that's going on in Revelation. Let's take a look. I want you to look with me, if you will, verse 10. Now, we're going to do it again, but I just feel compelled to start off right now, let you see this meeting is a very important court meeting that's going on and before God. Verse 10 of Revelation 12, "And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ is come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down and accuses them before our God day and night." People, he's been doing this since the beginning of time. And I'm going to show you why. What's going on with this Satan in this respect? This is very important what is happening. "Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from roaming about the earth and walking around on it." Now that sounds innocent enough. From roaming about the earth and walking around. Like I said, a teenager, just been cruising. Just going around a drag. Going to drive-ins. It's cool. A Christian, you better take heed. Because this involves you. What he's doing. Now, they have come before God and for this assembly meeting before God to give their reports. God asked Satan, "From where have you come?" Now, in other words, report. Give us a report. Satan answers, "From roaming about the earth." Sounds innocent. But let's look at the word. We have a preposition from, which isn't important to our study. But when I give you Hebrew and Greek, it's generally because it's something I want you to think with me on. Now, I'm not here to impress you or waste your time or my time, but to draw your attention to some things. What we have here is the cal infinitive. And what does the infinitive do? It tells you purpose. So whatever this verb is, it has a purpose. Cal infinitive of the verb sooth. And so it looks like this in the Hebrew. That's, we'll give it an S, just a soft S, S-U-T-H sound. Sooth. Could be, give it a S-O sound, because this is the S right here, and this is, gives it the O or U sound, sooth. And this is the word that we have going on here. Okay, the word means to push forth. The word means goal or objective. People, I'm reading you right out of a lexicon. I'm not trying to make a word mean something different or give you some, you know, the dictionary may give 12 definitions and way down to number 12 and weakens. No, this is what the word means. It means goal, G-O-A-L, objective. It means to travel, to go about, to and fro. An objective or a goal. Note the infinitive denotes purpose. He is roaming, traveling about with a specific purpose in mind. There's a purpose in his traveling. So from roaming about the earth, eretz. And this is also important because what I want you to see, this is E-R-E-T-Z, eretz. And, or not T-Z, T-S, this is it, T-S right here. And this is eretz. Now, I want you to know three things. Just three things with this word, roaming about the earth, eretz. One, the physical planet of the earth. Physical planet of the earth. Two, in opposition to heaven. In opposition to all of the galaxies. He is not roaming around heaven or the other galaxies, but a physical planet, Earth. The Earth, if you want to think about it, is a one room in a vast galaxy. It's just a small little room. We all know that. It's not that big. Just a small room in the galaxy. People, this is the place of the warfare. Homo sapien now occupies. Oh, by the way, and the third one. The third thing. One, planet, physical earth. Two, in opposition to heaven or anywhere else in the galaxy. And three, the word is often used in reference to the inhabitants of the earth. Homo sapien now occupies the earth by the time we get to Job here. So mankind is on the earth. People, stop worrying about, is there life out there? Yes, there is. I'll just tell you right up front so you don't have to worry any more. There is life out there. But you better be concerned with the life here on earth, namely your own. I think a lot of times people get so distracted on UFOs and other beings and all of this stuff because it takes it all off of me. I don't have to think about how I'm not treating my husband, my wife, or how I'm not doing this, or how I don't have that, and all of this type of thing. People, let's forget about life out there. There is life out there. There are, I don't know how many, millions of angels. Millions satisfies you. So don't worry about it. This is where the battle is. This is where the battle is. Take planet Earth. There's a little room, few land areas, acres and stuff and on the earth that has been hot for thousands of years and is still one of the hottest places in the world today, and that's in the area of Jerusalem. That's that little area. And yet there's just land everywhere. But no, that's the place. So this is the place, planet Earth, is what we're dealing with here. From roaming, traveling with a purpose about the earth. And then he says, and from walking around it. Now, this time it intensifies. First time we had a cow infinitive, we simply noted the purpose of the traveling around the earth, roaming or traveling. Roaming gives you the idea that it's without purpose. If we want to, let's just roam around. Let's just roam. You visit a town, let's just roam around. That's why a lot of times people don't like to travel with me, because I got a plan. I go to a city or anywhere, I got a plan on where, what to see and where to be and all this type of thing. You lose the romance of just roaming. Just, hey, you go down this street, okay, it's nothing. But who cares? That's the whole purpose of roaming. That's not what this word means, people. He's not just roaming around. So traveling around is a good idea. So get in your mind, he's doing this with purpose. Then it says, and from walking around it. Okay, we have a hif. Now, I'm not wasting your time. Hif, pa'el, stem in the Hebrew. We have a hif, pa'el, and it's infinitive, of course, noting the principle, noting the reason for what he's going to do. The hif, pa'el, infinitive of halak. That's H-A-L-A-K. Halak. Halak means to walk. It means to go or to come. You already know what the infinitive is. The infinitive denotes purpose. To walk about. To go to and fro. With a definite purpose in mind. Satan has a definite purpose in walking about the earth. He's traveling. If you want to get an idea of the different concepts is, remember, he's not omnipresent. So let's just say he's traveled to Texas. Okay, so he's traveled around the earth and he's come to Texas. Now, I'm going to get down there and I'm going to walk on the streets of Dallas. So it just zeroes in. Zeroes in on various targets. And I'll show you what he's doing. This, you'll love it in regard to where we are in the world today with all the spy stuff we have going on. Now, what I want to take a moment with you is this hif pa'el. It is rich. When I was in seminary, studied Greek and Hebrew, I loved Hebrew. I loved learning it and studying it. The vocabulary in Hebrew, all words are based on the verbs, and they're all based on three radicals, three letters. You could have a word Nebuchadnezzar that long, and I tell you, it comes from three radicals. And what makes it so much fun or extremely difficult is that in this, let's say you started off with a verb with three radicals, and let's just say you got 25 radicals in the word, and you're trying to look for what the root is. Out of those three, two of them may have dropped. That can happen. So all you've got is one radical, one letter from the original word. But it's still so much fun. But also all of the stems in Hebrew. Let's talk about the hif pa'el. First of all, the hif pa'el takes up part of the pl. It's connected with the pl. Now what is a pl stem? The pl stem is intensive. Intensive. People, he's given an intense report. This is something he's doing. He's not just roaming around. You go roaming around, walking around in a city, and you're just shopping, looking in the shops, and there's no intent there. But boy, if you're on a mission, you're looking for something. It's totally different. You'll even not see a lot of things because you're looking for this. And you're walking around, and I mean even just shopping, but especially if you're on more than that, this is intense what he's doing. I want you to understand this as we go through it. It's intense. Now, not only is it intensive, the hif pa'el has a reflexive tone. Reflexive. A reflexive tone to it. Okay, let's talk about that. What does reflexive mean? Reflexive mean back on the action, back on the subject. Action of the verb on self. For self-interest. Satan is walking about intently with self-interest. He is looking for something for himself. This is very important to follow through what we're going to see. So the Hithpael helps us here. This is all about himself, self-interest. Intently walking around for himself, for his own advantage. One of the best grammars of biblical Hebrew is by a man named Gesenius, G-E-S-E-N-I-U-S, Hebrew grammar. Now, I know sometimes it's hard when somebody's reading something to follow through, but please try to, just a short thing I want to read to you. Quote, it more often indicates action less directly affecting the subject and describes it as performed with regard to or for oneself in one's own special interest. Now, let's take what I just read to you and let's apply it. This is worth your time. If you want to understand what's going on here, let's apply it to ourselves. Okay. It. Reading, I'm taking what Gesenia said, we apply it to our bird, to ours. It. Okay, the Hithpael stem. More often indicates an action. Now, what is the indicates an action of the verb, and our verb is to walk. All right, indicate an action to walk about the earth, less directly affecting the subject. And what's the subject here? The subject less affecting the subject. I want to write it out. Less affecting the subjects. Okay, who are the subjects? That's you. Mankind. He's walking around. He's looking. Less affecting the people of the earth. It's the subject here. And describes it, the action of the verb, walking about, as performed with regard to or for one's self. So it's for Satan. It's for Satan. In continuing Gesenius, in one's own special interest. That is, in the special interest of Satan. Okay, so we have a special interest. This is great. Okay, so the Hithpael stem tells us, Satan is walking about, and he's looking at the inhabitants of the earth, that's you and I. He's less interested in us. It's for his own purpose, for his own deal. Let's see if I can make this very simple. I can do this. One person walks around, and he's looking for those in need so that he can help them. It is for their interest he is looking. Another person walks around looking for people hurting so that he can take advantage of them. So that he can go in and dun them in for money. Take advantage of their circumstances and get their money. Now, do you see the difference how it's for one's own interest? You're not so much the subject. The subject is Satan is walking around looking and studying, and all of this, every one of you, every Christian. And he's looking. And it's for his own interest, for his own advantage. And we're going to look at it later, but just got to get into it. He's looking for someone he can target that's going to fit his design purpose. Let me just tell you, so that I can take that name to God and slander him. It's for my interest. I'm going to look around and see who I can target. So he's walking around the earth with a special objective in mind that's for his own self interest, not ours, not what he's looking upon, but for his own self-interest. Satan has a plot. Satan has a plan. He has a plan and a reason for going about the earth. We're not told here in this immediate context what that interest is, are we? We're not told. In fact, you really can't pick it up in the way it's written, roaming about, and you, oh, this is just a meeting. That's the way a lot of commentaries take it, people. But when we start looking at what's really happening, look at the verbs, look at the stem and these things, so we're not told with this immediate context what this interest is. But we're going to learn throughout the whole rest of this book. I want you to look at another context of this activity of Satan, roaming and traveling about. Same words. I want you to look with me, if you will, at 2 Samuel. Let's go back to War Genesis. You'll come to 2 Samuel. Samuel's easy to remember where it is because Samuel is the one who will appoint the king. So it'll just be before the story of the kings and after the period of the judges where there wasn't a king. Okay, let's go to 2 Samuel. After all that talking, I lost my place. Let's go to 2 Samuel and chapter 24. I'm just doing this because I want you to take the journey that I've taken. I've got to give it to you in an hour, but it took several days, but we'll just go through it. 2 Samuel 24. I just want to read with you. See if you see some things. Now again, verse 1. Now again, the anger of the Lord burned against Israel. And it incited David against them, that is, against Israel, to say, go, number Israel and Judah. Okay, now people, we know from another text, another passage, Satan incited him to do this. So bear that in mind. It's not in this passage, another passage, Satan incited this. So just stay with me. Now, verse 2. And the king said to Joab, the commander of the army, who was with him, go about. There you have it. Go about now through all the tribes of Israel. That's with a purpose now, isn't it? This doesn't just mean go out and look. It's mean go, there's a purpose now. You just order. You go about and do this. From Dan to Beersheba and register the people. I want the names. I want to know who's been naughty and nice. No, I want the names of these people. We're going to get the census going. Huh? And social security number and all. That I, look at it, that I may know he's roaming about, going here and there. Why? That I may know the number of the people. I want to learn something about the people. Verse 3. But Joab said to the king, now may the Lord your God add to the people 100 times as many as they are, while the eyes of my lord, the king, still see. But why does my lord, the king, delight in this thing? Oh, boy, I wish we had time to study this. We don't. But I hope you see it. See, God told David not to do this. David's worried about numbers. So he's got to make this whole list. What Joab has said here, look, you take this census, it can change before the night's over. God could add 100,000, 100,000 could die. Why are you doing this? Why are you note the word delight. So that's what Satan delights in what he's doing. Verse 4. Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Ooh. And against the commanders of the army, against everybody. So Joab and the commanders of the army went out from the presence of the king to register the people of Israel. And they crossed the Jordan and camped in Aroer in the right side of the city. And all this is so beautiful and important, but we've got to move on through it. In the middle of the valley of Gad toward Jazer. Verse 6, then they came to Gilead, to the land of Tanim Hadshai, and they came to Danjon and around Sidon, to Sidon. and came to the fortress of Tyre. All of these are dealing with Satan. King of Tyre, all of these, a lot of these things. Hittites, Canaanites, well, we know those are what? Those are the kingdom of darkness. Those are all kingdoms of Satan. And they went out into the south of Judah to Beersheba. So when, now pay attention, we're just going to read two more verses. So when they had gone about through the whole land, they came to Jerusalem. Now think about coming to heaven, the angels in Job 1:6. They came to Jerusalem at the end of 9 months and 20 days, set period of time. And Joab gave his report. And Joab gave the number of the registration of the people to the king. And there were in Israel 800,000 valiant men. That's not our concern. What I want you to see is this is what he's doing. This gives you two pictures of what Satan's doing. First of all, I incited David to take the census. But what I want you to see is his activity. Go about. That's what he wants to do. Go about and look at the people. Study the people. Now let's talk about this creature. We have seen that in the prehistoric world, he was a leader of all the supernatural creations, all the angels. We have seen that he is the priest of the angels. He represents God to the angels and the angels to God. Now, we've noted this. It's going to add up to part of the pride of his fall. Okay, now, before we go into this, let me show you what's happening. I want you to start flowing with me so we get through some passages that I want you to be able to see clearly. So up here we have God. And for purpose, this holy God. We have down here on earth, angels. Up here we have the throne of God and the garden. It's a beautiful garden up here. Okay. We have a creature. A super creature who is allowed to come down here and represent God to the angels. And then he can go up here and represent the angels to God. Think with me now, because we're going to build on this. Angels, way back, they just didn't come and go to God. I'll show you this in Ezekiel a little later. They just didn't come and go. This was a privilege of Satan. So if you start thinking about it this way, this is not true, what I'm getting ready to say. I don't want you to be misled. I'm saying that you can start thinking this way, that God is an unapproachable, he's an unapproachable God. That's why the angels can't go up there. This is going to start getting into Satan's mind about this. Now, before I go any further, remember what his name will be changed to, from Lucifer to Satan. Now, what does the word Satan mean? To accuse. To accuse. To be the adversary. I'm going to show you tonight how he got his name. I want you to see the evolution of what's happening with this creature and his name and why he does what he does and how he came about this name. It's not arbitrary. It goes back to the glory of his creation. I'm going to show you. It goes back to the glory of his creation. It goes back to the basic characteristic of this creature. It was designed for good, but corrupted to evil. Now, see some things about Satan now that you may not have ever seen. I certainly haven't. Let's turn to Ezekiel. Let's turn to Ezekiel. It's a long, big book. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, We will be coming back here often. You will become familiar with a chapter in Ezekiel. We are not going to study it tonight, but just read through looking for something pertinent to our study. We will have to study it because it's a powerfully important chapter in the whole book of Job and in our life and in the spiritual warfare. Let's look at Ezekiel 28. If you'll turn with me, let's all turn to Ezekiel 28. This is where we're going to spend a few moments now in Ezekiel 28. What are we going to be looking at? What is interesting, people, it's going to deal with the fall of Satan. It's one of several passages that tell us about the fall of Lucifer, the great, bright and shining one. What is interesting is that there are those who will say, and you need to know this, there are many who will say, this does not talk about Lucifer, but about a literal, physical male king of Tyre. Look at verse 12. Verse 12. Son of man, take up lamentation, crying, for the king of Tyre. Okay? And many will say that's what's talked about here. So, just as they deny that many passages are messianic, that are about the Messiah, and miss so much about the Messiah, and the suffering of the Messiah, the identification of the Messiah, they do the same thing here with Satan. But I want to clear that up for you. Is there an answer to that kind of charge? Well, look at verse 13. We haven't started reading. I just want to show you a couple of things. You were in Eden, the garden of God. People, that certainly isn't talking about a man. That's not talking about a physical man, a king of Tyre. No, verse 14. You were the anointed cherub. Well, that does it. Now, what they do is they dance around and they give it glorious titles and stuff. But people, this isn't man. This is certainly not a man that's being talked about in our study. Look at verse 16. 15, verse 15. You were blameless in your ways. People, this could never be said of the king of Tyre or any other member of the human race. Save our Savior. Okay. So we know we're not talking about the king of Tyre. What is being talked about here is Lucifer at his fall. So let's just read this time, and we'll study it in detail later. Okay? Let's look at verse 11. Let's start our reading in verse 11. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up lamentation over the king of Tyre, and say to him, Thus says the Lord God. Okay, now let's take a look. This is what God says to him. You had the seal of perfection. That's the way he was created. He was the created seal of God's creation ability. You had the seal of perfection. Full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Well, we're not going to take a survey. I might be disappointed. Which would you rather have, being full of wisdom or perfect in beauty? Because there are people that would take one or the other. So I like the woman who said she'd rather be beautiful because she knows that's all men can see and think about. So that would serve her purpose. But full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. People, this super creature is immaculate. Verse 13. You were in Eden, the garden of God, and we'll come to that. People, let me just tell you what's happening. This Lucifer and our Savior Jesus Christ in prehistoric time walked together. They were comrades. You were in the Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the ruby, the topaz, the diamond, the pearl, the onyx, the jasper, the lapis, all of these, the turquoise, all of these things, and the gold of the workmanship of your settings and sockets. Read to me what the King James says there, John, instead of settings and sockets. Or does it say settings and sockets? Near the bottom of 13. Well, all right, and the gold. And the gold? Yep. Yes. Okay. Now, I want him to read that because I want you to see what's going on with settings and sockets. That's his voice, people. That's his voice. This creature had... Yeah, but it's the sockets. It's his voice. That's what's going on here. This is unbelievable. This creature was wisdom, beauty, and he sounded, as I said, like a pipe organ. Just absolutely a beautiful voice. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. Now remember, people, angels don't develop. Adam and Eve developed, or didn't develop either. We develop. We grow. Adam and Eve, boom. He was there and he was a grown man. Eve, boom. There she is, grown woman. Angels, boom. There you are. And so all of this, at one time, he comes into being with all of this. Now verse 14, important to our study. You were the anointed cherub who covers. And I have placed you there. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. Okay. Let's look at it now, because this is the verse we want. You were the anointed cherub who covered. Now, people, remember, this is long before the fall. This is the way he was created. You were the anointed cherub who covers. Does anybody have the NIV? Okay, I'll read to you what it says. Look at your text. If you have the New American Standard, you are the anointed cherub who covers. The NIV says, you were anointed as a guardian cherub. Okay, let's look at it. You, this Lucifer, were, the verb is not present. It's understood. That says that creation. Anointed. Here's one of those beautiful words that I'm sorry we have allowed the charismatics to frighten us away from. We don't use that word too much in the fundamentalist evangelical movement. Anointed, the charismatics use it and have abused it and destroyed it. But people, it's a biblical word. It's a beautiful biblical word. Has wonderful meanings for us. We are anointed. You are anointed with the Holy Spirit. Now, the charismatics have made that something weird. And I'm sorry, because it is a very beautiful concept. What we have here is Memshach. Okay. Memshach. Okay. Mem, right here. These two M's. See those little flags? Those are two M's. Mem. And then we have S-H-A-C-K kind of sound. Memshach. It's the way it sounds. A-C-H, A-K. Some people put C-H and K, but same difference, Meshach, for sounding. The word comes from the root verb, Meshach, and that looks like this. Remember I told you how every word comes from three radicals of a verb? This is the verb, and this is M-A-S-H-A-K, R-C-H, Meshach. Meshach means to rub with oil. To anoint. To consecrate. Think about that. This super creature was consecrated, anointed by God. Especially, not all of the angels, him. Right from the beginning. Right from the beginning. Angels like Adam and Eve just came, they're there. Boom. Full wisdom, full body, full everything. Angels are the same way. And this angel was right from the beginning, set apart from all of the others by God. He was consecrated. Okay. You were anointed cherub. Okay, the word, the Hebrew word here, keruv, refers to a winged celestial being. Now, I hope you know that all angels do not have wings. Hope you know that. All angels do not have wings. And some angels have six wings, three on each side. Some angels have two. Some angels have one on each side, two. Okay. But the cherub was created with wings. It's a winged celestial being. That's all I want to do with it tonight. Okay, you, Lucifer, were anointed. You were consecrated. You were set apart by God. You were anointed by God. Cherub. And now let's note the next word. It says in the New American Standard, who covers. Okay? I want you to start thinking in your mind, who guards. The NIV has it here. Here is what is important to our study and understanding Satan. We have here the Hebrew is the calactive participle of sakak. Okay, I'm going to put it on the board. And I'm going to put it on the board and show you something funny about Hebrew and what can happen. This can be, if you were looking it up in a lexicon, this can be C-A-C-A-K, kakak, or this can be sakak. This is an S-A sound, S-A-K-A-K. What's changed here? First radical. First radical and how we understand the first radical. That's the one thing that has changed, the only thing that has changed. Now, let's talk about what it means. Here's a super creature, Satan, comes into existence, and boom, all of a sudden, there he is. But isn't it amazing? We can't even think this way. Understand, full of wisdom. I mean, we go through 12 years of school, and then whatever you take after that, and still aren't full. Like Linus says, the more I learn, the more I realize how much I have got to learn, so why do it? And but they came, boom, there you are, you know, it's like you've lived a million years, and you got it all in there. That's where it was created. Now, let's take a look. And he was appointed a guard. Now, I'm going to give you some of the meanings of this word. This Hebrew word I have on a board means a screen. A screen. What's a screen do? A screen blocks. From behind the screen, it's blocked. What's on the other side? Keeps getting from this side. Your screen. Means a fence. Fence keeps somebody from getting somewhere. It means to cover over. That's where we get the New American Standard, to cover. It means to cover over. Now, what happens when you cover something over? You can't see it. Okay? It means to protect. To defend. To guard. Just talk to you a minute. This is the throne of God. I'm the anointed cherub. I stand here and I guard that holiness of God. I protect it. Nobody goes to it. I'm the one who's going to guard it. I'm the one who's going to keep people from going there. Angels, excuse me. I'm going to keep creatures from going there. That's what I'm for. That's my job. Takes us right to the spiritual warfare. Blocking. Stopping something. It has his position to keep creatures, angelic creatures, away from something, to guard something, to protect something. Okay, let's look at our verse. You, Lucifer, this is before the fall, were anointed at your creation, were anointed cherub who guards, and I, God, your creator, placed, what does that mean? Stationed you there. You were on the holy mountain of God in heaven, not on earth. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. A beautiful picture of where Jesus Christ and the super creature walked together as friends in the prehistoric realm in the heavens, not on earth. Now, I want to go on from here, but just so you can see the picture, let's read on. From our verse 14. Let's start in verse 15. Let's just read a little bit so you get the whole picture of his fall. You were blameless in your ways. Think about that. No mark. Holy in his own right. From the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. By the abundance, how did the unrighteousness get there? By the abundance of your trade, all these things that we've just been studying, all of his beauty, his wisdom, his vocal cords, all these things, his position, you were internally filled with violence, and you sinned. Therefore, I have cast you as profane. This is the first fall of Satan. From the mountain of God. And I have destroyed you. Now, that doesn't mean destroy life. Destroy all of that privilege. O guarding cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire, your heart was filled, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. It's amazing how beauty is so wonderful, and it's also a great curse. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I put you before kings, angelic, that they may see you. By the multitude of your iniquities, in the unrighteousness of your trade, you profaned your sanctuaries. Therefore, I have brought fire from the midst of you, and it consumes you, and I have turned you to ashes on the earth. In the eyes of all who see you, all who know you among the peoples are appalled at you. You have become terrified, and you will be no more. Now, let's take care of place in future time, not in reference to our study. Okay, let's go back to verse 14. You were the anointed cherub who guards. Guard what? Remember, this goes back to before the fall. This is at the point of the creation of the angels. Lucifer and all the angels was created in splendor and was a seal of creative beauty. He was made a guard. He was to guard the throne of God. He was to guard, as I just showed you, if this is the throne, he is to stand here and guard God, making God, in his becoming and thinking, an unapproachable God from all of these other creatures. He is the guard. Think with me now. He is the guard of the holiness of God. He is the guard of the righteousness of God. Start thinking right from the beginning. It has been the function, responsibility of this creature to guard in respect to the holiness of God. Now, I'm running out of time, but it's going to take two lessons to get this in. I'm sorry about that. If I'd have really been thinking about it, we'd have done it last night and tonight. But I want you to think about this now. Part of this would be to keep careful eye on everyone, just to see if they're obedient to God and come before God. See if they are worthy to come before God. I'm the guard. And you come up, well, who are you? It's my responsibility. Are you even worthy to approach God? I'm the guard here. I'm here to protect and guard His own holiness. What happens if he finds one of these super creature angels who is not? Reports him. He reports him. He comes to God and accuses him. Names him to God. People, he was appointed this by God. He was appointed to guard. And that was going to be his purpose. He reports them. He becomes their accuser. What does the name Satan mean? Accuser. Well, we're going to have to look at now what happened at this fall. What happened? When he himself becomes the violator and rebels against God, this characteristic of this creature remained and coupled with extreme jealousy, turns him into accuser of anyone who sins or fails. He actually becomes their enemy. Therefore, the name Satan, accuser, slanderer, he becomes that. But now, it's not to protect God's holiness. What is he designing to do? Think with me now. What's he designing to do? If I come and say, if Satan comes and says, this Christian or this person has sinned, they are not approachable to God. They can't have a relationship with you, God. And how dare you to have a relationship with them? You, God, must remain holy. I'm going to protect your holiness. I'm going to protect your holiness, and I'm going to protect it by showing you this person's a sinner. This person's no good. This person's a failure. And if you're not a failure, I'm going to make you one, i.e. Job. This is what I'm going to do. This is what he's designed to do, to be this guard, to be this accuser. Now, look with me. Okay, do you follow what we're seeing tonight? How what he was in his original creation and how it starts to flow over. And now he was in his wonderful place and it was in a position to praise him, to glorify him, and all the things that he was to do, go to angels and talk about the greatness and the holiness of God. But at his corruption, he's now going to twist it and use it against the creature. He's going to tell God, you are holy. Remember, we've seen this before, and I told you, who is the greatest proponent of law of all the creatures? Satan. Satan demands law. Satan demands that God remain holy. He demands that God remain holy. And people, if God remains holy, then we have those 10 questions in Job, and I won't go over them with you, but what do we see? Who can be righteous before God? Who can make an unrighteous person righteous? Who can make the unclean clean? No one. No one. You're not approachable to this God. Now, we're going to go from there. Boy, do I hate to cut it now. But next week, we're going to start with some more stuff on this and take you through a journey in Genesis, Zechariah, and some other places. But I just wanted you to get a feel of what is happening to this super creature, and how he's going to twist all of this and turn it now, and how he becomes the guard in his mind, the accuser. So he's going to be given that name. He's going to become a spy. He's going to become a tyrant now. But his whole point, and this is why I told you what the real question of the spiritual warfare is in Job, why we spent that time over those 10 questions. And I see it so clearly now, more and more, just falling more and more, falling into place. That's his whole thing. It's not about love. It's about holiness and righteousness. And you have to be holy, God. Now, it's in my notes later. You'll get it next week. But just to get your mind, something's going to happen. Get down to quarters of time, God's going to send his hero, the Son of God. And he's going to break down that guard, symbolized by the breaking down of the veil in the temple. God is approachable. God has always been approachable. He is approachable through this man, Jesus. He is approachable through the Messiah. He is approachable by simple faith. Satan can't handle that. He hates that. That's why Satan hates the love of God. Yes. Yes. They're both. We're going to see how they both intertwine. They both intertwine. They've got to. Yes. That's why we are part of the angelic conflict. You can't separate them. Get that out of your mind. Here's them, their battle, here we are. No, they're related. Why? What did we see in Revelation chapter 3? And what did the Lord do? He's going to acknowledge or confess your names to God the Father and to angels. Revelation 3. People were this whole thing is so closely involved with each other. And this little wormy creation came on the scene, and it just totally disgusts Satan that you can approach God. People, think about it. How can you approach God and I can't? I'm so superior to you, it's sickening. And I'm going to show God how bad you are. I'm going to slander and accuse you every time you sin. I'm going topside to this court hearing and I'm using your name. Because I'm going to protect the holiness of God. Yes, yes. All the angels did. All the angels did. Yes, this is his defense. And that's why he has those 10 questions we studied in Job, laying the whole foundation of the whole spiritual warfare, what's going on with it. And so we'll pick it up here, and just to kind of get you ready, God is going to put a guard over the tree of life. Put a guard to keep people from coming to the tree of life. I'm going to propose before you that one that he puts before him, that a tree of life, that cherub, is this Lucifer, this Satan. And that's going to be his whole objective, to keep people away from the gospel, away from the truth. People, he cannot stand the love of God. He doesn't understand it, and he hates it because it circumvents what he understands as this holiness. I'm here to guard you. You can't get to him. And God says, no, out of my love they can come. Wait a minute. You can't do that. I'll show you passages like that. So we'll pick it up here next week. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for taking us and giving us a glimpse into the prehistoric time. In a manner, Heavenly Father, that we can understand it and it affects our own lives here on earth now. It affects how we live, how we think, and how we function. Our family and our friends, the church, and the body of Christ, and the Philadelphia of Christ. Pray, Father, your Spirit will take the things we've seen and just open our eyes so we can see these things that you're revealing to us. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.